Welcome to Lore of the Rings Beacons of Insight, where Middle-earth wanderers like you call for aid with their questions. And together we find light in Tolkien's works as we search for the answers. Need aid with a Lord of the Rings question? Visit ringspodcast.com and tap contact at the top, or hit the gold button on the right that says send a voicemail. Visit ringspodcast.com, ask your question, and your guide will answer.
Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Tiffany lights the beacons with this question.
Hi, Aaron. I'm wondering what you thought of the use of the Great Eagles in the War of the Rohirrim. Do you think that their use in the plot was true to the lore or slightly outside of that? Thanks.
Tiffany, thank you for that intriguing question. The beacon is lit. Let's wander. Let me begin with a spoiler alert. If you have not seen War of the Rohirrim yet and you don't want any of the plot points spoiled for you, then please skip to the next Lore of the Rings episode. From here on out, I will speak freely. You have been warned. So some context. I have only seen the film once as of this recording, and if I remember correctly, we first see the eagles as Hera throws the ginormous hunk of meat into the air, and the white eagle catches it. I think she refers to it as a hatchling or something. Somehow she denotes that the bird is not fully grown. Later, Hera scales a mountain in order to ask a major favor of the Great Eagle. The favor was for the eagle to carry Helm Hammerhand's armor to her cousin Freyloff, I think his name was, so that he could ride to their aid at the Hornburg and strike fear into Wolf's army, because he has Helm's armor. So the short answer here is, these scenes with the eagles are 100% an adaptation choice. The story of Helm Hammerhand and his daughter does not mention the eagles at all, not even once. That said, does this adaptation choice fit within the spirit of Tolkien's imaginative world? Is it consistent with what we know about eagles? So I'm going to break this down into location, speech, and perhaps most egregious, plot convenience. So let's start with location. We know from The Hobbit that the Great Eagles had eyries in the Misty Mountains. I don't remember if it's exactly told where those eyries are, but we know that it is in the Misty Mountains that the eagles are able to watch and come to Gandalf's aid and Bilbo's aid more than once in The Hobbit stories. If the eagles are only in the Misty Mountains, then it seems highly unlikely that Hera would be able to feed a growing eagle, and downright impossible that she could scale to their nest from the Hornburg, as the Hornburg is on the northern edge of the White Mountains. The White Mountains being the range that runs east and west, under which Aragorn found the Dead Army, and on the eastern tip sits Minas Tirith. You could make an argument that Tolkien never said the eagles weren't in the White Mountains, but that would be arguing a counterfactual and doesn't hold much water in my view. Next up, speech. The Great Eagles, and it seems clear to me that these huge birds are supposed to be Great Eagles, would indeed understand the common tongue, and they could even speak it. We see that in The Hobbit and in The Lord of the Rings. In fact, the eagles' chief function in the mythology is to be messengers for Manwë, the king of the Valar being the powers that govern Middle-earth in the Far West. And so being messengers, it makes sense that they would be able to use a variety of languages, although language is not necessarily a requirement for them to communicate with Manwë, but it heavily implies that fact. But these eagles in War of the Rohirrim follow the pattern set in the Peter Jackson films, where none of the animals actually speak, but they seem to be able to understand some languages. You have Aragorn speaking Elvish to the horses, and so it makes sense that Hera here can speak the common language, the common tongue, to the eagles. Lastly, plot convenience. And this is where I think it gets tricky. because the Eagles are not intended to be Middle Earth's Uber service. Just pick up a butterfly and order your ride. We must remember that the Eagles are not mere beasts. They are part of a divine order. In some Tolkien sources, he heavily suggests that the Eagles are Maiar, part of the class of spiritual beings who serve the more powerful guardians of Middle-earth that I mentioned before, the Valar. Now, as I said before, the Eagles were the special servants of Manwë, and they intervened only on his behalf. They serve a specific function for Tolkien, which is to deliver a eucatastrophe, the sudden joyous turn of events. We see that eucatastrophe in both The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Even in other tales, like what we find in the Silmarillion, the Eagles rarely stepped in, and usually to only recover a body of a failed hero. But not always. So asking an Eagle to carry armor and a message on behalf of the people of Rohan seems a little outside their purview to me. We learned a lot about Eagles when we looked at the early chapters of the Silmarillion, and go listen to episode number 2 to learn about the origin of Eagles, and Ents, and several other things besides. ringspodcast.com/2. And yet, as I watched War of the Rohirrim, I felt the desperation of the people of Rohan. Their king and his sons are dead. They're trapped behind walls. A vengeful man is outside, and his army is building a wicked-looking siege tower. It doesn't get much more desperate than that. I remember thinking to myself that I just did not know how they were going to survive that winter. And Hera's plan was surprising to me. I did not see that coming. And yet it was not entirely unforeshadowed, and it turned to a joyous sudden turn of events. So, if Eagles are the vehicle for eucatastrophe, does their function in War of the Rohirrim count as a eucatastrophic moment? For me, seeing the film for the first time, I would say yes. And bonus points, because she didn't use a butterfly to call Uber Eagle. Let me wrap this up. The use of Eagles in War of the Rohirrim is an adaptation choice, but one that is mostly in alignment with Tolkien lore, in my opinion. Great question, Tiffany. If this answer brought a bit of light to your wandering, then help me light the beacons. Share this episode with a friend who needs a little Middle-earth magic. Together, we can guide more wanderers to the wisdom and wonder of Tolkien's world. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today.